It's Tola again, back with Winning Each Season. It is 2022. Can you believe it? When I started this podcast, it was, I remember it was just on a whim. One evening, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. It's always my best friend who's kind of like giving me the kind of, yeah, girl, just do it. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And I did it. That's how I started dating my husband as well. She was like, just do it. And I was like, I'm going to do it. But that was 2 years ago. I cannot believe how quickly time has flown. So this is going to be a quick update on what the heck has been going on with me. So I'm now a mum of two. You know, when I started this podcast 2 years ago, I was a mum to a toddler, a very boisterous toddler. And now I have a preschooler and another toddler. I had a little boy and he's awesome. He is such a bundle of joy. He's such a blessing. And I'm grateful to have the two, one girl, one boy, and I'm certainly done. I obviously came back from furlough. I came off of furlough and I went on maternity leave, and then I came back from maternity leave and I left my job. I actually started a new job a couple of months ago and I gotta say I am loving it. So another life update for me is I have completely employed the hashtag soft life. I'm all about that. I'm still trying to work out the kinks and work out how to have a soft life whilst raising these blessed kids. I have not figured it out, but I'm on the journey. And hubby has decided to relocate. He actually no longer lives in the UK. And so that has been exciting, wild, difficult, challenging. I mean, just so many emotions. So I'm holding it down for the family. I'm raising these two kids with his support from a distance. And I'm enjoying it, but it's tough, as you can imagine. So those are my big life updates. I'm really hoping to do this podcast on a weekly basis because I enjoy it. Who doesn't enjoy just talking into their phone and sharing whatever thoughts they want to share? What I'm going to leave you with today is Happy HR Day. I think it's International HR Day. And as you know, I do work in human resources. And over on my Instagram, I did this story about don't listen to silly advice. One of my neighbours, I think at last year, it was quite unfortunate. His wife left him. Very sad. He was an uncle, right? A fellow Nigerian. And so I remember he said his wife was receiving devilish advice. And so whenever I speak to Ola, we just kind of laugh about devilish advice because it was just so very Nigerian. And what I want to talk about is some devilish advice that there are some other HR podcasters that are giving. So this niche is black women in HR. They are all, quite professional, quite senior in their field as HR generalists, whereas I'm more of a HR data and systems person. And what they said on their podcast is if you get a new job and the recruiter comes back with a certain figure, just ask for at least 10K more. Just add 10K to the number they've given you. And I was kind of like, what? What kind of devilish advice is this? You know, and sis, I want to encourage you that please don't believe everything that influencers say. These women are specifically from financial services and tech backgrounds. So maybe you can get away with that in those industries. But listen, not every industry. If you're working in the public sector, for example, you're working in some kind of like hotel environment or a warehouse, please don't just ask for 10K more than what they're offering you. They are most likely going to rescind that job offer and say, listen, this is not the place for you. You know, my advice on IG was go do your research. There is absolutely nothing wrong with negotiating. You know, I made a lot of mistakes in my early HR career. I was very focused on the fact that I wanted to get into learning and development. This, to me, was like the holy grail, because in learning and development, my vision was I would get to stand up and talk. I would get to stand up and present and train, and it was going to be amazing, and that's what I wanted to do. And so I took a job as an L&D administrator, an L&D coordinator, which was a pay cut from what I'd previously been doing. And for some context, I was working in the financial services as a recruitment coordinator. I then got made redundant, I went on holiday, came back and was aggressively applying for work. And this was my job offer. Like I said, it was a couple of grand less. And I don't think I attempted to negotiate. I just accepted it. I was really grateful to get a job. When I left that job, I think I contracted for a while, and so the pay was more, you know, as a contractor. And then I got offered the perm job, right? This was at the job I just left in the public sector. And I remember I was really confused because they kind of give you the number and say that there's London waiting. Right? London waiting is about 3.5 grand on top for those of you that are maybe not in London, not in the UK. You know, because London is just so expensive, they just, you know, most companies will genuinely give you a bit extra for living in London. So it was about 3.5k more. So when the recruiter gave me my offer, I was like, oh yeah, good offer. Because in my head, I added the 3.5k more. And then when I clarified, they were like, no, the number we're giving you includes 3.5. And I was a bit like, oh my gosh, is this even less than what I was earning? You know, not in the previous job, but the job before. It was really messy. And I attempted to negotiate. And oh my gosh, she was so rude. I will never forget her. She was actually really lovely when I started working there. But as a recruiter, she was not nice. I remember very clearly she said, if you want this job, then you take this offer. The offer is the offer. And you know, maybe me now, I would have said, okay, then no, thank you. I will not accept this offer. But again, back then I was early in my career. I knew I wanted to get into the public sector to learn HR technology. You know, I was pivoting, I was moving out of L&D into HR systems. I knew I wanted to have kids. You know, I wanted to like learn in a safe environment. I wanted this job. So I took the job, but man, it was a bad experience. Conversely, as I said, I recently changed jobs and I was just much smarter about the whole process. Number one, you know, when the recruiter approached me, first of all, the recruiter approached me on LinkedIn. So that's already a great sign. They want you. I wasn't looking for work. And we discussed very openly the salary payment. And of course, when he told me the top of the band, I was like, yes, so I can do the job. Yes, I can do the job. I was like, for that price, I can do the job. so I knew what the top of the band was. And so when they asked me about my salary expectations, I was just like, yeah, that is in line with my salary expectations. I was earning significantly less. You know, coming from the public sector, I was earning significantly less. I was in the public sector for about 6 years, and I think my pay went up like £1,500 in 6 years. I mean, this is not even in line with inflation, right? It's pretty bad. But again, you know, I knew why I was getting into the public sector. I knew why I took that job. And, you know, that's really important. When you're taking a job, you've got to know why. And you've got to know when it's time to exit. You know, at the point that they approached me, I knew that, okay, I wasn't planning to leave right then. But I'd kind of given myself a year. After maternity, I said, come back from maternity, give myself 1 year to kind of learn this technology as best as I could. You know, re-up my knowledge and my skills, because I'd been doing it before I went away on maternity leave. Give myself a year and then I would leave. And when I was approached, this was, I don't even think I had come back from maternity, so it was definitely ahead of schedule. Anyway, back to the story. So I knew the top of the pay band, and when they asked me for my figure, I actually asked for £7,000 more than the top of the pay band. You know, obviously I did my best at the interview to charm them and try to be the best candidate, but I knew I wanted the top of the pay band. And so I wasn't going to give them that number. I was going to give them above that number so that they would be like, okay, well, we can't quite meet the £7,000 above what she wants, but we can meet, you know, the top of the pay band. And that's exactly what they did for me. So my advice is, you know, go do your research and work out what is a reasonable offer. Speak to peers if you have peers in the same industry, or especially in the company you're interviewing for. If you can get an idea of salary, that's great. If you can't, you know, websites like Glassdoor, I'm not sure how much I truly trust their salary estimates, but you can get on the phone to another recruiter. You know, if it's financial services, call Michael Page, call Hayes Recruitment, call whoever and say, listen, you know, I'm thinking of getting to the financial services in XYZ type of role. What do you think the top end of the payment is? just have that light conversation and then, you know, add a couple more grand and go back to negotiate your offer. Another tip I would give is, you know, for me, like I said, I was earning significantly less than the pay band. So I had to be smart, right? I couldn't go in and say, hey, I'm earning, I mean, this is not my true figure, but hey, I'm earning 21K, give me 40. These are like made up numbers, but you can imagine, like, if they hear I'm earning 21, they might offer me 30, but like, that's good, good enough. Whereas I was like, no, I want 40, you know? So what I said to them is, I'm earning less than 30, but I know that I'm severely underpaid for what I do, and I am looking now to, you know, increase my salary. I just kept it vague. Again, not my true numbers, but kept it vague. So you never have to reveal the exact salary you're on, because you don't want them to lowball you, right? You don't want them to be like, okay, let me just give you 5K more than what you're on, because that's good enough. Because the truth is, if you accept that and then you start working and you find out your peers are on like 15K more, you're going to be gutted. There's just no two ways about it. So what am I saying? I'm saying do your research, but don't just add 10K to the number just because an influencer's told you. Do your research, really think about it, try and find out, you know, is this a realistic offer? And, you know, recruiters, they're just people as well, right? Like, they want you to do the job, or they wouldn't offer you the job. So have that conversation with them. Say, you know, is it realistic, you know, that I could get a few grand more? You know, this isn't quite what I was expecting. You know, do you think I could get 10K more, or do you think it's more likely I can get more like 7? They're human beings, they'll have a conversation with you. You know, it's not their father's business, it's not their father's company. So it's not as if they can't tell you the truth about the wrong. That's my 2 pence. So sis, this was an update. This was a celebration of us HR professionals. We're out here, we're working hard. And it's also just to say that, you know, in the season that you're in, do your best. You know, if you are in the season of job hunting or being approached on LinkedIn, you know, the market is hot right now. Don't beat yourself up for trying to negotiate, and don't beat yourself up if, you know, first time around the negotiation don't go well. You know, you can have a couple of rounds of negotiations, let's be honest. They can go bad, get you another offer, you can say, you know, could you increase it another 1 grand, 2 grand? You know, have that conversation. Stay blessed, sis. I hope to speak to you next week. Bye.